If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine love of the One Beloved. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is, how present and conscious are you? How present and conscious are you? So let's start with an attunement, as usual. So relax. Be present. I take a deep breath and connect. And bring the totality of yourself forward and integrate it through your whole body. Notice the feeling as that happens. I was flooded with goosebumps from the top of my head all the way down through my spine and body and arms and legs. The body is starting to rock back and forward, and I'm also feeling a tremendous heat flowing through my body. Be aware that there will always be a noticeable shift when the positive energy of the Divine Spirit interacts with the electromagnetic field of the positive spirit with the negative human body. It's like the poles of a battery. So if you didn't experience anything, let's do it again, because there is invariably and always the registering of contact with Divine Spirit in some manner. So as you reach into a higher state of awareness, you have to exercise very conscious intention, very conscious. So let's try it again. Take a deep breath. Connect. Call yourself forward. That's better. I actually felt that. Wow. See the power of joining an agreement? It's tremendous. You can't call yourself forward through a written formula. Just doesn't work. Why? Because written formulas come out of the past. They come out of the already done. They come out of the already known. You have to call yourself forward in the freshness of the nowness of spirit. When you pray, you have to call yourself into that presence and have a heartfelt, often very silent, communion with the divine beloved that lives in you as you. There's an intensity of that relationship, intensity, that can't be done by rote. That's why when you go to a regular church where they read out of a hymnal and a prayer book, it's flat, it's dead. You have the written word without the living spirit. And that's why when you go into a charismatic church that's really charismatic, you don't have any prayers out of a prayer book or songs out of a hymnal. It's always a spontaneous calling yourself into the presence. And very often the prayer is done where people walk back and forth. There's an intensity. There's an aliveness. There's a vibrancy. where you see people are co-participating with the divine spirit. And that's what I'm seeking to evoke in each one of us, so that we don't have dead religion, but we have living spirituality that becomes our very life's breath. That we could just as soon give up our meals than live without that daily living communion with the divine. That is one of the reasons why I don't have call-ins. Why? Because I'm not interested in talking to your ego mind. Every time you go into questions and doubts and debating, you're just in your ego mind. You're not present. You're not ego. You're not mind. You are verily the spirit of the living God. You're the living fire of the living word of the Almighty. You're the living Om, the living Hume, the living presentation of the absolute Godhead into time-space. I can't begin to communicate to you how blissful that state of existence is, how alive, how exquisite every moment of life is when you live at that level of connection and communion. You're in heaven now. You're home now. You're ascended, whole and free now. Now is the moment. Now. And to enter that, you have to die to that which is past. You have to die to the known. You have to die to the labels and the layers and layers of conditioning. To be born of the spirit. To be born anew. So how to communicate that in a radio show? Well, we practice each week. We share keys born of the living spirit within the speaker here. And when this one that speaks is filled with the fire of God, it spreads, it transmits, it imparts. And ignites and quickens and activates that within you that is ever awake, ever conscious, that never sleeps, that is the absolute all that is. So are you conscious now? Are you on fire now? Are you present now? Or are you just stocking up on more mental concepts and adding more labels and layers of conditioning? Okay, let's ratchet it down a bit. You can determine for yourself, you can diagnose your own state of transformation simply by paying attention to the words that come out of your mouth. To your thoughts, your attitudes, and your behavior, which is simply the result of all of that. Have you permanently changed for the better since you embarked upon a conscious spiritual path? I mean, really look. Don't fool with yourself. For your graduation in this cycle depends on your transformation. Be aware that nothing has the power of transformation. But the Holy Spirit, your mind can't transform you. Your belief systems can't transform you. Reading the dead letter in a dead book can't transform you. following some preacher, some teacher, some guru cannot transform you. Only you showing up can transform you. Only you, as the living God, can infuse this personality, this little enchilada dancing about with this current name, this current personality. Only you, taking conscious control of that vehicle, can bring transformation. You know, we expand our spiritual awareness into a field of service that keeps expanding, expanding, and extending until we are of active, ongoing service throughout all the dimensions, all of the universes, all of the realms of existence. And truly speaking, our entire series of earthly incarnations have been primarily to prepare ourselves for ongoing universal service. That's it. That's it. There's no other reason for souls to come into this arena of testing and training and karma and reincarnation except to awaken beyond them, to transcend beyond them. So, at the minimum, living present here and now and staying conscious can serve you right now and save you from unnecessary worry and mishaps. Notice that whenever you go into unconscious autopilot, that's when you have the problems. That's when you have the slip of your tongue and you say something that you wish later you hadn't. And you ruin that relationship or that marriage or whatever. Or you're not paying attention, you're not present, you get in the accidents. Always, you get in trouble when you go unconscious. Now, obviously, we're living in very unpredictable, unsettling times. At this very second, tornadoes and epic floods and storms and wars and devastation are displacing millions and millions of people worldwide. Without warning, sinkholes and landslides are opening and swallowing up entire areas. And no one of us, not one of us, knows what moment may be our last moment in this physical dimension. And you're not going to take anything with you but your spirit, yourself. Everything else will be worked out in one of the lower realms. And then you get to come back again to see if you can awaken the next time. But why have a next time? You have the opportunity now. Nothing is holding you back but your own lack of desire to be free. That's it. So we are living in the day that the indigenous elders have referred to as the day of purification. And this is the time of the necessary clearing and weeding out prior to a new cycle in which only the spirits that are living love are going to be able to move into. Otherwise, it would be absolute torture for someone who can't live at that level of vibration. So every single person is being called upon to wake up and become more conscious and aware of how they're living and the life choices they're making. Because you need to be contributing your true essence in order to continue on with this graduating life wave. So where are you? What are you doing with your days? You know, survival in the natural world requires staying vigilant and alert at all times. all animals live in attunement with nature and live ever alert to their surroundings and the changes in their surroundings. And they can sense the change in weather and adapt accordingly. And animals are always living in the now moment. For an animal, neither past nor future exists. They just sniff the air and sense the present moment and the necessity to move within that appropriately. Animals, however, lack the self-awareness that the human being is endowed with. And as a result, animals have not yet developed what we call an ego mind. Man, however, just goes along totally out of touch with nature, with himself, with changing conditions, and as a result perishes unnecessarily. So the human being has developed a sense of separate identity, which carries with it the baggage of previous experiences and memories. And this is what keeps one from being fully present as long as the ego mind is running the show. It's interesting, I think, to find that scientific studies of the brain fail to locate memories. Where are memories kept? They don't know. No one knows. I think very likely it's because they are individually manifested out of a fictitious state, out of that ego state, which is merely attachment to the past and the known. So the past is only reassembled by remembering what was and no longer is present. It's interesting, it's called remembering, reassembling, reconstructing. And when you remember it, it manifests again in your life right now. And, you know, it seems only the human being does this. And that's why the human being keeps repeating history without any form of change or transformation. We just go from war to war, conflict to conflict, pro-con, pro-con, dispute, debate. But nothing changes. Nothing shifts. It only shifts when there is co-partnering with your higher nature, with the divine spirit within you. So transformation requires contact with one's spiritual nature. For only divine spirit can transform you. And with you, your whole world is transformed because the world is projected only by your consciousness. Now, of course, animals and human beings both share the physical level that requires air and water and food and rest, but only the human being is capable of transformation. And spiritual transfiguration into pure light. See, light is your true divine nature. Light is produced by the merger of truth and love. And when you live truly in truth, and your whole being has been reduced to only love, you are the light. And all of the forms then dissolve and vanish. It's the disappearance of the universe that our friend Gary Renard wrote about. I can speak about it because I have experienced it. I come back only to convey to those who might still be able to move into that state. But I'm not speaking from a belief system or a book, but from my actual experience. So Sai Baba has stated that human beings are capable of expressing up to 85% of pure divinity. Mind you, he said human beings. Once you become fully God, You don't appear again as a human being. And he goes on to say that animals are able to manifest only 15%. But remember, animals are in the line of evolution to eventually move into individualization as an individualized soul inhabiting a human body. So we're all in that state of progression. Now, all animals live totally involved in hunting, eating, mating, and defending their territory. But you know what? It's rather obvious, given this description, that the vast majority of so-called human beings are really not living human-level lives at all. Most human beings are totally involved in hunting. Today, that would look like job-seeking and trying to maintain our paying job, and eating and mating and defending our possessions and territory. And thus, the human being is living the same as an animal. When the human being has been created to transform into pure, conscious godhood. Wow. What a destiny, a potential that we come embedded with into this incarnation. So there must come a point in the life of everyone when, more than anything else, we want to awaken. We want to truly see. And we want to be, more than anything else, our true, authentic self. Everyone, I think, eventually becomes world-weary of pain and fear and suffering, and life lived only upon a superficial level of physical survival and maintenance. I can remember being world-weary at the age of 6, for heaven's sakes, questioning my aunts and the people I was around, if they didn't have a greater aspiration for their lives than their daily humdrum coffee and gossip. I was really, really awakened as a child to the pointlessness of the way most people were living. So, I believe that every person will reach this point in some life when the humdrum of the mundane and superficial appeasement of the sensual desires is just not enough. There comes a point when the sensual appetite has been so exercised, so thoroughly, and for so long, that it just doesn't hold any further interest or fascination nor satisfaction. And like all of the outgrown habits and preoccupations of childhood, the lower nature, with all of its former habits and preoccupations, just falls away with spiritual maturation. You might ask, well, when is a person spiritually mature? And I would say that when one is simply an egoless servant of all life. I think the servant's heart that Jesus embodied and exemplified is the highest state of human expression, short of dissolving into pure light and Godhead itself, which Jesus Christ did. He eventually became fully identified with the Father, where he said, when you have seen me, you have seen the Father. He was saying that God and he had become one. And then he proved the point by allowing the body to go through the cycle of death and resurrecting it to immortal status, the pure light, and then densified. It was his physical body. Sai Baba said he resurrected his physical body. He actually transfigured it into pure light. which if you read the scriptures carefully, it says that. But not as a one-off. He held that forward as the spiritual promise for every one of us as part of our divine heritage. So the entirety of our countless appearances in innumerable forms and conditions was all and is all for this one purpose. This one purpose, to know, to experience, to transform, to transfigure, and to be pure light. It's to empty every one of us of personal self-involvement, to release our divine essence. And all experiences have been to purify and clear and offer the physical, emotional, mental, and etheric vehicles for the full use and occupation of the Holy Spirit, so that only the divine spirit, like in Jesus, operates through that human presentation. That's all. Everything is for that purpose. And that's what it really means to be spirit-filled and spirit-indwelled. It is the emptying of the ego mind's personal story. The ego mind fabricates a story around its limitation. And it's this that we simply outgrow. And it's the ego mind that also projects this concept of what we assume we are and what we take and project upon other people. And when that falls aside, the infusion of that divine nature simply infills us and pushes out and dissolves everything that's not in congruent resonance with that. And then what happens to all of the ego mind and all of its conditioned shenanigans is that that becomes itself completely transformed into spiritual empowerment. So you don't lose the gain of the lessons acquired in the school of hard knocks when identified with the ego mind. You don't lose that. It becomes part of that transformed energy, because you can't lose energy. Energy can't die. It can only be transformed. So that's why every experience that you're having or will ever have is going to turn and be used for ultimate good in your life. So don't hate, deny, denigrate, criticize, condemn, or damn any of your experiences. Bless them all. Love them all. The scriptures say, in all states and conditions, give praise to God. Give gratitude to God, which is what it means to praise God. It means be appreciative. Have reverential gratitude for the gifting of life and the experiences of life. So it's that mystic way of total absorption in the divine beloved. It's a completely laid down, yielded life. It's where there's only God's will being expressed. Because with awakening, you realize there's always only been one will. Because your will and God's will are one. When that false identity falls away. Now, as light workers, we are in various stages of awakening. We are becoming, hopefully, more present and conscious of ourself as a spiritual being. And part of that awakening is assuming full and total responsibility for your state of consciousness, for your expression, and what that manifests in your life. So we are all becoming accountable for the energies that we host and impart to others. You have to be aware of what you're bringing to the table in a relationship, in the most minute exchange, the bill collector on the phone, the tax accountant, the auditing people from the IRS, the interchanges online, the things you post on Twitter and Facebook. Become responsible for the quality of energy that you are releasing into this quantum universe. You literally are known as your energy. And it's very interesting because babies and children that don't have that ego mind can tell in a nanosecond if you're a good or bad person. Actually, you watch how your cat and your dog interacts with someone, and you can pretty well tell what kind of energy they brought into your home. But, you know, when you're very, very sensitively attuned, you can also tell. Your heart tells you the nature of another when your own levels are fairly clear. It's like people become totally transparent. You can't be fooled. You can't be set up. You can't be deceived if you don't have those levels of deception operating in you. You'll very clearly see agenda when it's walking your way. And if you're smart, you'll step out of the way and let agenda right pass you right by, because the ego always has an agenda. It always wants something for itself. It can't see you, it can't hear you, it can't understand you, it doesn't care about you at all. It is simply object-focused. How can I use this person, this situation, this whatever, to in some way enhance myself? That's why you absolutely can't enter this work as a bearer of light if you want to make money. If that's your agenda, come to my workshop, join my website, come follow me, I will show you the way. That's all ego BS. Don't fall for it. Anyone that has something, they will run from you because they don't want ego-sucking leeches. They want to walk side by side with other Christ-conscious people. You know, Sai Baba would absolutely ignore you if you were in the state of ego. Absolutely. It was like you didn't exist. I had that experience myself when I used to do workshops. I could not remember or even see people who were only there as the ego form. You know, people come up years later and say, oh, I met you at such and such a place. I was in such and such a workshop. I don't even remember them. But I do remember those, rare ones, but I do remember those who were in various stages of self-realization. Those I did remember. So I think it must have been kind of like that with Sai Baba. I mean, when you first come to him, he'll give you a lot of attention to kind of get you hooked in, connected. But once you're connected, you're expected to stay connected and to take responsibility for maintaining that connection. And then at some point when you're doing very well, he'll ignore you. So those are the two ways you get ignored. One, when you are doing just fine and you don't need to be patted on the head, your ego doesn't need to be stroked, or when you're just in that honeymoon period, when you've just met the master, and he needs to kind of get you going. So even the involvement with your spiritual teacher involves how much you're calling forward your true essence. My teacher, John Roger, I think in the last 7 years, I have had, oh, maybe two sentences that I've spoken to him. He speaks to me inwardly all the time. I have a constant connection with him inwardly. Same with Sai Baba. But in terms of the outer physical form, I don't bother him with my stuff, and he doesn't pay any attention to the things of the lower nature. He just doesn't respond to that. I have to come forward as who I truly am in my spiritual empowered knowingness to evoke any kind of a response from him. And then it's seldom physical. Usually it's an inner knowing, which then he confirms outwardly if it needs confirmation, which sometimes it doesn't. So don't consider the silence of your spiritual mentors and masters to be lack of awareness on their part. They're only interested in fostering your reality, not feeding into and extending the ego's sense of identity. They won't waste time fostering your illusion. Be aware of that. I won't waste time fostering your illusion. If you want to interact with me in any way whatsoever, you have to come forward as the love and purity of your true essence. That's it. That's it. Don't have time to dance the drama of the little self. I remember when my daughter was very young, we had a wonderful children's book called The Little Me and the Great Me. And the little me was the perfect personification of a needy, negative, whimpering, whining, complaining lower self. And the great me was the loving, magnanimous, giving, generous, beautiful, divine self. And the exercise was to take a deep breath and blow out the little me. And take a deep inward breath and breathe in the great me. Kind of like how we start our shows each week. You breathe in the great me. You breathe out the little me. And though that was a children's little book, it was written so exquisitely. Trying to think who wrote it. I don't remember now. Might have been Wayne Dyer. Not sure. But anyway, I'm sure you can still buy it. And it's an excellent book, not only to read to your children, but to reread yourself. Because you know what? It's just that simple. To be aware when you're running your ego's nonsense and stop it. Take a deep breath. Blow it out. Take a deep inward breath. Inhale your divinity. Own it. Occupy it. Bring it in. Anchor it. And thrill yourself. Infuse yourself. Empower yourself. And it's just that simple. It's a choice. It's a choice. It's no big deal. So, again, bear in mind that an awakened person will never, never, never blame another person or an outer situation for their present condition. Never, never. So if you know of anyone who claims to be awake or enlightened, who is still complaining, bitching, moaning, blaming, telling stories about other people, telling you a victim story, please know that they're just blowing ego smoke. With your awakening, the small story, the mood making, and the pointing fingers of blame ends. Get it? It ends. So to be awake means to be self-aware, to exercise conscious control over what comes out of your mouth, over your thoughts, and, over what you do, how you behave. So you only need to listen to most people talk for a few moments to realize that they're totally unconscious. They have to be totally unconscious to have the nonsense come out of their mouths that is the average telephone conversation, interchange. Very few have any awareness of the creative power of the spoken words. I just cringe sometimes when I hear people say the most horrible things about themselves. And you just kind of want to go and erase that, because you really don't want people to manifest that. But they will, because that's what came out of their mouth, and they have the power of creation with the spoken word. Thankfully, when you're speaking out of the ego mind, you don't have a lot of power. But it has some effect, and even if you're, in unconscious ego mode. So there are even fewer people who consciously monitor and direct their thoughts. They let all sorts of gibberish, nonsense, ego yakky, yakky, yakky de yak go on in their brains, and they never exercise any form of discipline and lifting above that, using soul transcendence to lift above their ego mind and to the pure higher awareness of spirit. But that's why these radio seminars are for you light workers. Many of you are in the process of merging into Christ consciousness, or merging into the oversoul of the Christ oversoul, or very few of you, but I actually know some of you who are actually going through the initiation of Christhood in this lifetime. Yeah. And it's to you that I'm speaking. It's to you, not to the average unconscious, could care less, beer and boob tube group. No. So, can unconsciousness ever transform current global conditions? Of course not. Change requires spiritual transformation. You can't do it through protesting, through marching pro and con, through posting negative things about who's doing what and the horrible things and all of that. You're just creating more static. Wake up, and you'll find that the world is perfect, just as it is. It is God's incarnation in and as and through everything, which you will not see or recognize or realize until you have moved into the transformed state yourself. You only see out of your own state, always. So you can observe for yourself how the majority of people are operating on autopilot. Nobody's home. Nobody's consciously in control. And they're like unconscious puppets pulled by the strings of their karmic destiny. Because without conscious connection with one's spiritual nature, permanent transformation is impossible. Enlightenment, transcendence, ascension, liberation is impossible without conscious connection with your spiritual nature. It's very, very much like electricity. Without connection, to the live current, no illumination will occur. So to speak very bluntly, most people, including self-proclaiming light workers, are too involved with outer people and things and their doings rather than their own state of being. Realize, if you will, how subtle the ego mind is in craftily shifting one's attention to the global problems and what others and other groups out there are doing. Can you not notice the same complaining, blaming, fault-finding, criticizing, and sense of victimization that's now projected upon the world at large? You see, it's the same name and blame game that the ego mind uses to keep one's attention upon outer change rather than inner transformation. Some of the, pardon me, I'm going to step on some toes here, but some of the common ego distractions that are really wasting a lot of lightworkers' times are the conspiracy theories. All this hoop-de-doo about disclosure, all of this looking in the third-dimensional sky for UFOs, all of this attention to psychic phenomena, magic, even miracles, or the Antichrist, or Armageddon, or the evildoers of whatever. You see how it's all projection, all projection. Now, how can you be effective in any form of transformation if you've not mastered yourself, your own inner Antichrist, your own evil doings, your own psychic levels? How can you? Until you've disclosed yourself to yourself. So without inner transformation, outer change of a lasting nature is absolutely impossible. The world you see is the world you be. You only see what you've established as a reality within your own mind. And as Sai Baba has pointed out, the world exists nowhere else but within your own mind. And it's experienced only when you remember it. In higher states of illumination and samadhi, the world and all its content entirely disappears. The entire world, along with your little me and your small story, dissolve and vanish in the pure light of your divine awareness. And when your mind is totally absorbed in truth and your entire expression is unconditional divine love, you transfigure into pure divine light. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. And when you live from conscious awareness, your presence is globally impactful and transformative. When all of humanity is awakened and illumined, the world and the universe itself will disappear. That's why only a few in any given period of time attain enlightenment, according to Sai Baba. Otherwise, there would be no illusory arena for unawakened souls to awaken within. And that's why the realms of Maya, of dreamwalking, image projecting continues on for a certain precept cosmic cycle of time, governed by the laws of karma and rebirth. This, however, beloveds, is the closing of a major 26,000-year cycle when those ripened fruits on the galactic tree of life are being gathered in. This is the time for this major cycle to awaken and choose to return home. Home is your divine identity, where you awaken to your oneness with God. The call to awaken has been sounding for a long time. Have you heeded it? Are you becoming more present, more conscious, more self-determined and aware? Only you can really know that for yourself. Let's take a deep breath and go out chanting on I Hear. Deep breath. Baruch Hashem Adonai. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Adonai.